Hello, my name is Melody McClendon. I want to thank the audience for tuning in on BBS Radio today. I am your host for True Confessions Radio Show. Today's topic will be about dysfunctional families and what can be the outcome from the children suffering these conditions. Today I have a guest named Damien.
How you doing?
All right, and yourself?
I'm good.
Okay, I would like you to tell the audience, I would like you to explain to them a little bit about your childhood.
Okay, well, my mother, she was a PCP user, alcohol abuser. She used to do PCP and had me in an incubator when I was born. She died when I was 3 years old. Grew up in a foster home when she passed away when I was three. My foster family wasn't a good family for me. You know, they was abusive. They made me slave around the house like I was Cinderella. You know, never had no friends, didn't do no sports. You know, it was all about me being in the house, cooped up, cleaning behind the foster family. You know, I stayed in foster care from the age of 3 to 13. I started running away because of the abusiveness that my foster family was doing to me. The social services took me out, put me in a group home. Even the group home people, you know, I was getting choked out by them and stuff. And I wasn't really too much happy with my life as a child, you know. In and out of jail. Started going to jail when I was about 14 years old, youth authority, you know, stealing cars, breaking into homes, you know what I mean? When I got out of the youth authority, about 25 years old then, I wanted to try to do something for myself, really, and try to live my life. But by me living my life, when I was getting out, I was living it like I was still a kid, you know, trying to catch up in the lifestyle on the streets. And it was kind of hard, and it still is hard till today. I was out there hanging with the wrong crowds, with gang members and stuff like that, doing drugs, weed, powder cocaine, crystal meth. You name it, I probably done it, except for crack cocaine. You know, I just stopped doing alcohol about 3 years ago, you know, because it turned me into somebody that I did not like.
Excuse me, I don't mean to stop you, but I'm sure the audience would like to know a couple of experiences you had.
When I was in foster care?
Yes, can you start there? Like something that was incidents that you...
One of the incidents that I like telling my majority of the people that's younger than me is my molestation when I was in foster care. My foster brother and his homeboys, you know, molested me one day. I was about 10 years old, and we were all camping out in the front in like tents and stuff. And one day I went to sleep and I felt something touching my rear end. And when I opened up my eyes, I seen my brother's friend with a broom touching my rear end with the broom. And I went and told my peoples, and they didn't believe me. And it's like, it's a very touching story to me, and I apologize if I start crying behind you. You know, it's really touchy to me. And when they didn't believe me, when I told them that to do with what he was doing, they just beat me behind it, said that I was lying. And when I seen that, I was like, how can a person say that? If I'm coming to you and telling you straight out of teary eyes that a person violated me, you know, it's foul. It's foul. And anybody that's really out there listening, if any child come to you and tell you that they've been violated by an adult or anybody that's older than them, please pay attention. Please pay attention. Because it does affect you in the long run. It really do. I'm still messed up behind it. And I've been in counseling and everything, mental health hospitals behind it. I done tried taking myself out multiple times. and I still don't feel the same. I tried finding happiness through other people and still can't find that happiness that I want, you know?
So you're saying you went to...
I went to my foster mother and told her, and she beat me behind it.
Oh, my goodness.
She beat me behind it and told me I was lying. Would nobody do that?
So that was her other foster son?
No, that was her son.
Oh, that was her son?
That was her son.
Oh, okay.
That was her son.
That was her son. And have you seen him since you...
No, I have not.
And and I'm sure you haven't had contact with the foster.
The last time I had contact with him was when I went to my foster mother's funeral.
Oh, so she passed.
She passed away.
Did you see him?
No, he didn't show up.
Oh,
he didn't show up.
Wow. Okay. Now, I know this is rough for you speaking about, you know, this situation. It's horrible. You know, I hear these things quite often, and I'm always, you know, empathetic to it. You know, it always does something to me. Now, I would like you to speak more about what the foster mother was doing when it came to the abuse. Well, before that, I want to ask you, was that the only time you were violated by this?
Yes, that was the only time.
Okay. Now, after that took place, after you got the beating, did it continue?
You know, the beating kept continuing until I turned 13 and I started running away.
Okay.
My foster mother, she used to beat me with water hoses, extension cords, Nintendo controller cords. I've been busting my head with a lamp, with marble ashtrays.
Hmm.
She made me eat dog shit one time. Ooh. Excuse my language, but the truth is the truth, you know,
yeah.
And can't nobody change that, you know. And the way I live my life now is to try to give back to those that are in need, and it's hard for me because I focus on other people than myself, you know. When I see other people that's been in situations like myself, I try to use my story to better them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people out there in this world is so corrupt minded to the point where they don't know when a person is really in need for help. You know,
I agree.
Can I say, if I could go back in time and change my younger years, I would, by the grace of God, I would. You know, because I think my life would be different. I wouldn't be strung out on drugs like I am now. You know,
oh.
I do crystal meth to cover up the pain and the hurt that I have inside.
Yeah, but you are aware that can only make things worse.
I understand it makes things worse, and it only covers up my feelings and the pain just for a short period of time.
Yeah.
But just taking my mind away from the hurt that I have, it benefits me in the long run. You know what I mean? To a certain extent.
No, let me explain something to you. It numbs you. It's a difference. It numbs you. For that period of time, if it healed you, you wouldn't still be knowing it.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right.
Crystal meth is a very powerful drug. A lot of people aren't even aware. Do you know who created that drug? Do you know how that drug came along?
It's manufactured through chemicals up under the sink of your household.
No. It is. Being, you know, it's made that way. It's made with rat poison. They use battery acid, almost anything to create this drug, anything that'll kill you to create this drug. But crystal meth was created in Hitler. I'm sure you know who Hitler is. It was created and through his sciences so he can make unstoppable soldiers. That's where crystal meth came from. And we all know anyone with the characteristics of Hitler is almost, is very much influenced by the devil. You understand what I'm saying? So this drug can't be good for anyone. No drugs are good for anyone. So it's numbing you. It's a different. You're being numb, but guess what? The problem is still there. It's still there. If it wasn't still there, you wouldn't still be using. Now, I want to know, and I'm sure the audience does as well, would like to know what happened. I recalled you saying you went to YA and you got out at 25. Now, what were you on drugs before that? Or
no, I wasn't on drugs before that. When I got out of YA, I started smoking marijuana.
Uh-huh.
And I've been smoking marijuana for a while now. I was selling drugs back then when I got out of YA. I ran into a couple people in L.A., you know what I mean?
What type of drugs were you selling?
I was selling rock cocaine.
Okay.
I was selling rock cocaine to people, and I made a good living for a short period of time off of it. You know, I had my own place. I put myself through school, had a car. It's like, man, I end up, well, during that period of time, I ended up running into a female that introduced me to the crystal. Okay.
Were you dating this woman?
No, I wasn't dating. She was a friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
She was sitting in my house one day, and I came out of my room, and I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm getting high." I'm like, "What are you getting high on?" And she told me and explained to me what it was. She said, "This is crystal meth." And I'm like, "What is that? What does it do for you?" He said, "It gets me high, and it gets me actually aroused." And I said, "Is that right?" I'm like, "I never done that before." She like, "Well, do you want to try it with me?" I said, "Okay, I'll try it, but I don't know if it'll do anything to me." And she explained to me how I'm supposed to do it and what I'm supposed to do when I inhale the smoke inside of me. Mm-hmm. So when I did that, I liked it, the feeling of it.
What was the feeling that you liked of crystal masking?
The feeling, okay, it was like a warmth type of feeling that mm-hmm. Started from my toes up to my chest area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I started feeling myself getting aroused.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he started touching on me slowly and stuff.
Yeah.
She started touching on me slowly and stuff. And when she did that, we started kissing and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. we ended up having intercourse with one another. And the intercourse that we had was lovely on the drug.
Mm-hmm.
It was. It intensified a lot more than being sober. And I still chase that rush. I'm still chasing that rush to this day. The effect, I wish that I had never had encountered the drug that day, because now I done went into shooting up too. Instead of smoking it, I shoot up. And it's worse than smoking to me, because when you shoot up, it's like a feeling that I really can't explain the feeling behind it, because it's out of this world. You know,
what are some of the long term side effects? Like you said, you began shooting up. Did you begin shooting up because it intensifies
my sexual arousal?
Okay. And does it last longer that way?
It lasts up to 3 to 4 days. It could last, depending on how much you do, uh-huh. it lasts up to 7 days.
So how much sleep are you getting during this time, because
if I haven't got high within that day, I could sleep almost all day.
Okay.
You know, but it keeps you up for a while, for a period of time.
Oh wow. Can you tell me some of the things, like, say you run out of money and you want to get high, what are some of the things you may have done to get money to do
drugs? I go online and put up little ads and stuff to women and see which women are out there that's willing to pay for sex. And I sold my body to women before, you know, I got paid for it. On a strip for women before. Mm-hmm. I'll go probably steal a couple things from a store if a person really need it. Mm-hmm. And they'll pay me either in cash, or they'll give me the product that I need, the drug that I need. And that's how I usually keep my high going, you know.
Now, have you been back to jail? Or have you?
I went to jail for having the paraphernalia on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other than that, I haven't been back to jail since, and I'm trying not to go back to jail.
So what way are you trying not to go back to jail, Damien? How do you think?
Not walking around with paraphernalia on me.
Do you think that's going to stop you from going to jail, Damien? Truthfully?
Truthfully, no.
So what do you think you should do
right now?
Or do you think you need?
Be honest with you, Melanie, I would love to stop doing crystal. I really do. But right now, I enjoy getting high off of it, you know, mm-hmm. because to be honest with you, I'm lonely. I'm not in no relationship with no woman. You know, my last relationship was with my kid's mother, mm-hmm. and I have four kids, and I do take care of my kids. I do. I take care of them before I even take care of my own addiction. But I do want to get this drug away from me. I really do.
Okay, you know, you were speaking about your baby mother. Can you tell me a little bit about that relationship? With everything you've been through, is she aware of these things?
My baby mother is fully aware of my childhood and being on drugs.
Yeah. Is she on drugs?
No.
Okay.
My mother's not on drugs.
So what? What happened?
What happened was I had got caught up. Like I said, I had got caught up with some paraphernalia in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
One day I was going to the store to go get me a pack of cigarettes, and I jaywalked across the street. And when I went to jail, she had left me and married a dude that's way older than her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this dude's about 50-something years old compared to her age.
Mm-hmm.
When she did that, I begged her not to marry the guy, you know what I mean? I even offered my hand to her and said, would you marry me instead of this dude? And that day when I went to jail, she made her choice and married the guy, you know? And our relationship, we cool, but it's not the same as it was when we was together.
Well, could you think of anything you may have done to her? Now, I want honesty. You know, I'm not going to judge you. You know, I'm not perfect, you know, and Lord knows my lifestyle before wasn't nowhere near perfect. I would like to know, how did drugs take an effect on your relationship, truthfully?
It changed my characteristics.
And what were some of the things you were doing to make her?
I was very argumentative. Anything that she didn't do right, I'll cuss her out, call her all kinds of names, and
did you ever hit her?
I hit her one time. I slapped her one time, and I regret it to this day. I still apologize to her. Every time I see her, I apologize to her. Look, I apologize for the things I didn't say to you. When I hit you, I apologize for that. I was out of my own characteristic.
if there was something that I could do to change it, I would. And I keep pleading with her to divorce the dude that she's with now, so that me and her could be together for our kids. You
know, okay.
I believe that a man and a woman that have kids together should be a family. You know, they should be one. They should be together. But by me still in my addiction, she don't want nothing to do with me until I get off the drugs. But now that she done marry him, I don't even think I would want to go back to her because the things that she says to me now and in front of my kids.
Okay. Well, what does she say?
She say, well, by you doing prison meth, you know that's a faggot drug. And I'm like, no, that's a anybody's drug. It don't mean that because a person is doing prison that he'll do homosexual activities behind it.
No, not everyone. Just some.
And,
that's
and I was explaining it to her, like, look, you can call me whatever you want to. You know? And I tell her, like, just because I'm on crystal and my lifestyle is different don't mean that you have to hate me because of the past that I done put you through. The hurt that I done put you through. You know what I mean?
Okay, now you said earlier in the conversation that you love the way this drug makes you feel. You know you need to quit, but obviously the feeling of the drug is keeping you.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you have how many kids by this woman again?
Four.
Okay. Now you have four children. I want you to name things that were most important in your life that you have lost over this drug addiction.
Most important thing, I can only name two, really.
Okay.
My kids and myself.
Well, those are two very important things. Yourself alone. You know, if you can't be good to yourself, you can't be good to no one else. You understand? And I really want you to think about this. I mean, I can see you love your children. And I can see you love your children's mother. You know, it was something that took place. But, you know, sometimes in life we have to really look at the root of things. I mean, do you believe you would still be with your baby mother if it wasn't for your drug use?
I believe I would still be with my baby mother if I would never put my hands on it.
Okay, now, were you under the influence? Okay. So do you think if you weren't under the influence, this would happen?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So, now remember, I just said the root. That's what has been planted, the seed. The seed is crystal meth. You understand what I'm saying? The drug use. Like you said, if you wasn't high, you wouldn't have put your hands on her. So if you didn't get high, you wouldn't have put your hands on her. You wouldn't have went to jail. You wouldn't have lost your children. You wouldn't have lost your woman. Can you see the big picture? Just, you know, because you're not going to be able to change not unless you attack it from the root.
Right.
Not unless you understand what the problem is. And I see, you know, you're making excuses.
Well, that's what she said. I'm making excuses for myself because of the drug.
Yeah, you're making excuses. It's always easier to make excuses. I mean, then you don't have to deal with reality, you know.
That's true.
Just like you, I noticed you said another thing earlier about you like to focus on other people. You like to help other people. You like to do this. You like to be helpful. Do you think where that could be coming from?
That is coming from the way I was raised when I was growing up, the rough childhood that I had. You know, I wouldn't want to see anybody go through what I did when I was a child.
Okay.
You know, so when I see somebody out there that homeless or whatever, if they ask me for change, if I have it, I'll give it to them. You know, sometimes I'll just go into a 99 cent store and steal some stuff and take it to somebody that's out there on the street and make sure that they eat, that he owns and goes.
Okay, now, you know, that's, I admire you for your heart. I too have a good heart. You know, I can relate to that. But in the same token, I want you to really think about this. A lot of times we help others and we put all our energy into other people. Because guess what? When we're focusing on others, who aren't we focusing on?
Ourselves.
And I believe you have created this world, that if you help others, you don't have to concentrate on yourself. You understand that?
I kind of
it doesn't
that.
Matter. It is your heart. Don't get me wrong. But in the same token, you have to, like I said, you have to attack it from the root. You can help all the people in the world. Like I said, if self is not right, it's not going to work. You have to attack what's going on with you first. You can't help anyone without helping yourself. Can you imagine with your heart what you can do? How many people you can help if you get clean? The things that you may can gain back. Now, sometimes we can't gain things back. Sometimes, I mean, we really messed up and it's a wrap. Ain't nothing, you know, and nothing coming back. We're not getting, you know, they're done. It happens. Like, and I mean, sometimes you can't gain things back, but you can always do things differently.
Yeah.
And you can always help others.
And that's the way I'm visualizing my life now. You know, even though I'm still in my addiction, I still try to give back to the community as much as possible. How can I say?
I understand.
If I could find the help that I need to get off this drug, you know, because there's programs out there. Don't get me wrong. There are drug programs out there, but you got to have the financial backing to get into them programs for you to do the 12 steps and all this to better yourself. Okay. I don't have the financial backing right now, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help me stop this drug.
So you're telling me that you are willing to try. So you're telling me that. Okay. Now,
if it means for me to get rid of this drug, it means for me to get my kids back into my life.
And that's a powerful thing. That is important. Because let me explain something to you. Your children are being raised by another man right now. We don't know how. I'm sure you don't know this man. Do you know?
Oh, him? I know him.
Okay.
Oh, I know him. I've met him and everything.
But you know, we also can never really know a person.
Right.
You understand? You know what happened to you when you were a child. Okay. I'm sure a lot of people thought they knew your foster mother and knew her son. And believed they weren't capable of doing things like that, but they were. Can you understand? You can never really know a person. Some people can never really even know themselves. Some people don't know themselves. They can live their life beautifully, helping others, go to work 9 to 5. You know. Be charming, and one day just snap.
Right.
Understand what I'm saying? And do unthinkable things. So you can never really know a person. Now, if you want to get your children back in your life, you know what you need to do so. And I would suggest that you take them steps. Now, you have another man raising your children. I'm sure you would never want what happened to you to happen to any one of your children.
To be honest with you, Maggie, anything happened to my kids behind the door,
yeah,
I'll be back in jail for the rest of my life.
Okay, but hold on. But we can solve that, can't we?
Yeah, I'm getting off the drugs.
Okay, then. By you getting off the drugs, we're not going to think of a way that you can just make things worse in your life, okay? Because think about it. If something does happen to your kids, exactly. The root. You planted the seed.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now you're going to have to tear it down.
Yeah.
There's no other way. Now, I want to focus on when you went to jail, and you said you went to jail. It seems like you was in there for a while. What did you do? What crime did you commit when you were a teenager?
Stealing cars, breaking in homes, drugs. You know,
selling drugs.
Selling drugs. Okay. You know, but I lied to the police and said that I wasn't selling them. I was using them.
Okay.
So I didn't get no sales cases.
Okay. Yeah, I know how that is.
Me not reporting to probation.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, because when you violate probation for so long, they eventually send you off to the state.
Mm-hmm.
When I got out of state, you know, violating parole, not reporting to parole, stuff like that. Basically, you're doing the muck, running, basically, you know. And I just got tired of running. I'm not even on parole or probation anymore. You know, I just said, man, forget it. I'm going to do the right thing and just say, forget it. Let's do the right thing so I don't have to kind of keep being in and out of these four walls with a cell door in front of me where I can't do what I want to do.
Well, you have to be careful with your words. You're not doing the right thing. You're just being smarter doing it. Yeah, well, and in a street.
Right.
In a street sense.
Right.
Now, you're just not getting caught.
Right.
You understand
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
So we're not going to say you're doing the right thing because that's going to confuse you to make you thinking it's okay.
Which is not.
You know, it's not. Drugs is not okay.
Right.
It's not okay. It's not going to help you mm-hmm. in life. You know, and I know what happened to you as a child. You know, you let the whole audience know what has happened. And I do believe that that had a horrific effect on you. You know, it was a horrible thing you went through. You know, no child should have to go through this. And it upsets me that the system is so corrupted that they would even allow something like this to happen to a child. And, you know, another thing I was curious about, and I'm sure the audience is as well, I want to know, did you ever tell any of the workers what was going on?
You know, I wasn't even allowed to talk to my social worker. But my social worker used to come over and visit me. My foster mother always used to have me in a room and come,
okay.
and she'll tell my social worker, "Oh, well, he's not here right now."
Oh, okay.
But I'm like, what?
And she just went by that and allowed it,
right? Until I start running away. When I ran away,
mm-hmm.
then that's when I was able to be like, "Okay, look, this was going on," and she moved me from that situation and put me to a group home.
So you saying she moved you? From the situation, but did she ever deal with the foster parent?
No.
So the foster parent never got child endangerment. Her son never had the answers to it. In other words, what she did, she pushed it up under the rug so Children's Services wouldn't get a bad rap. That's what it was, you know, and it's happening all around us.
Some people say it turned a blind eye.
Yeah.
You know, and when she did that, it made me look totally different on the system now. Mm-hmm. And the way I feel about the system is, I don't think that we need the system too much, because the things that is happening with children like myself when I was coming up is wrong. If you're going to have these social services to help kids, then they need the help. You know, they need to be there. Coming once a month, coming once a year, whatever the case may be, how they're supposed to show up to a person's home, I think they need to come every day to check on that child.
Well, you know, it's understandable. Now, I can understand I'm sure it's not possible for them to check up every day, but it is possible for them to correctly do their job. That's the difference. Number one, the worker wasn't supposed to take that. Okay, well, where is he? Okay, well, I'm going to need him back by such and such a time because I need to see him.
Exactly.
You understand? And I believe that's why she swept it up under the rug the way she did, because she wasn't doing her job properly. And you were how old when this took place?
I was about 10 years old when this was going on.
Oh, wow. And you were in this family. You were with this family. So it's even a possibility that you could have got molested by this boy before, and you may not have even remembered because you were there so young.
Right.
And I remember when you said you got molested. I wanted to go back on that. Sorry, I know it's hard. You mentioned his friend.
Right.
Okay, now, was his friend just standing there, or did they?
No, see, this is what happened. Like I said before, it was my brother's friend, and when I opened my eyes, my brother's friend had a broomstick.
Okay.
You know, and my foster brother didn't do nothing.
Oh, so he allowed.
Thought it was funny.
Oh, so he allowed it. So he didn't touch you.
No.
It was the friend who touched you. Okay, but he was there. How old were they?
They was about 15, 16.
Okay, so they were older than you. Okay. Did you ever see that friend again? Okay, so the foster mother. Okay, but I'm saying after that situation, the friend never came back. Okay, so when, and the worker didn't do anything about it.
No.
I mean, this is, you know, it happens every day.
The worker didn't even do that when the group of staff member was choking me out.
Oh, now let's tell the audience a little bit, you know, about that. We missed that. You spoke on it, but I didn't get to that.
Okay.
What was going on in the group home?
The group home, basically, like, it was drug addicts. The staff members in there was using drugs.
And where was this at?
This was in Compton.
Okay.
Compton, California, right there on 134th and Wilmington.
Okay.
I still remember their names and everything. And when they found out what happened to me when I was a child and stuff, they basically treated me differently than the other kids in the group home. You know, they wrote my initials or my name on cups and made me drink out only that cup. I couldn't touch no other cup but that cup. I couldn't even go play a video game in the game room without other staff members there, you know, because they said, oh, well, if that happened to you, you might do it to somebody else because it happened to you.
Oh, because they knew about your situation.
Right.
So they had the nerve to treat you differently because
right.
And you were the victim.
Right.
You know.
And I was like, that's kind of messed up. So when I told the social worker, she kept me there for 3 more months. And then I got tired of that and I left. I went on my own. By that time, I was 14 on my own in the street, living in people, other houses, living with them.
Can you tell the audience briefly about some of them experience you may have had while you were living on the streets once you left and you had no home?
Me being on the streets, it was rough. It's rough being on the streets, period, for anybody that's homeless.
A child.
As a child, you know. I had to do whatever I had to do to survive.
Can you
and
speak? a little bit about that.
And by me saying that, I had to watch other people that was older than me go into people's cars,
mm-hmm.
steal their stereo systems, or just take their cars to a chop shop,
mm-hmm.
and go in people's homes, going through their drawers, taking their jewelry, their money, breaking into people's saves, all kinds of things. You know, I'm not saying what I did was right, but I had to do what I had to do to survive.
So you're like a watch-out boy?
More of a watch-out boy at that time uh-huh. of my age, but when I got a little bit older, I started doing things on my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I got to the point of where I could go out and do it by myself, that's mm-hmm. when I start getting caught up with the police.
Okay.
You know, I wish I never did some things to the people, you know, because now the way I feel now is stealing is wrong for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody. I don't care if you're stealing from a store, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I live by that to this day.
Now, I do have something to offer you. If you are serious about changing, I do have a drug counselor that is a friend, and he said he will offer drug counseling to people who appear on my show, you know, in situations like you have no Medi-Cal. And I have a aunt who owns a sober living home that would be willing to take you in. And I know for a fact, and she will get you on the income to pay, you know, the bills of the space. Now, I want you to be open-minded. You know, I'm not saying that this will be easy. You understand? I may even have to find a detox place for you first. But if I offer this to you, are you willing to at least try?
I'm willing to try anything.
Okay, but I want truth now.
I'm being truthful.
Okay.
I'm willing to try, okay? And I do want to get rid of this addiction that I have.
Okay.
And I'm going to be honest with you. If I feel like it's not working for me,
mm-hmm.
I will leave. Okay? But okay. I will try anything to help me get through this situation.
Okay. Well, we will discuss that after the show. I would like you to tell the audience, like, if there's a child listening or someone that's caught up in addiction, especially a child, because, you know, we can, like, catch it at the seed.
Right.
You know, there's peer pressure. We know that. You, even more on children in schools, or even maybe a parent that's going through, that has a child that's going through addiction like you are, is there any advice that you may can give them?
First, I want to give a little bit of advice to the kids that's younger than myself, okay? That's out there.
And also molestation. We're not going to forget that.
That's out there, you know, going through hard times, going through their trials and tribulations. If somebody older than you, regardless if they ain't your family, friend, or a stranger, violates you in any kind of way, and you go tell an authority figure, when I say authority figure, like your parents or whatever, and they're not listening, go to the law. Go directly to the law. Let the law know that same day that it happens so that you don't grow up and have the pain and the hurt that I'm going through now, because when I didn't get the help that I needed, I start having mental problems, being in and out of mental homes and stuff like that. I don't want that to happen to you guys out there. So please, if you are violated by anybody, please go to the law. Please go to the law. For you parents out there that got drug addictions, get help. Get help. Your kids need you. Your kids need you. By you not being there for your kids, it's like neglection. You know, you're neglecting your child. Go get help. Your child needs you more than anything. You depend on the drugs, let it go. Depend on your love for your children to better yourself.
Okay. I want to thank you for being on the show. You had a powerful, you're going through a powerful testimony. And like I said, there is help there, and I am willing to help you, you know, receive that help. You're just going to have to work with me, okay? You're going to have to work with yourself most of all. You're going to have to be strong, and we can make this happen.
You know what, Melody? I feel like there's a saying out there that say, whatever don't hurt you will only make you stronger. And you know what? What I went through in my life is making me stronger, you know?
And you know how strong your testimony would be, right?
I don't know until...
Yeah. You get yourself together, you got a strong testimony. You can really help others.
That's right.
I did it.
That's one of my goals.
It's possible.
It's a dream of mine to get out there and help other people like myself.
Okay. All right, Damien. I want to thank you for being on the show. I also want to thank the audience for tuning in this evening. I want to say goodbye and God bless. See you next week.